We're going to be in Psalm 13 tonight, and we're going to talk about this psalm here that David has written. We really don't know as to what the specific incident was that occasioned this David to write this 13th psalm. We do know it's a psalm of David, and we do understand that he was on the run. He had been fleeing from the wrath of King Saul, and David's been on a run. And he'd been on the run, according to most Bible scholars, at this point in time, between 8 and 9 years now. So you can imagine, if you would, we're holding up in our homes. At least we have the comfort of our own homes to hold up in. But David was holding up in caves and hiding out in the forest. And his was not just for days. The days had turned to weeks. His weeks turned to months. And his months actually turned to years. And David was able to, he was just unable to go out and do freely and live freely and travel freely. And we kind of get a taste of that because of the COVID-19. It started out with just days, and now it's turned into weeks, and now it's months. And there are some out there who would like to keep it going on for years. I guarantee you that. That's a whole nother message, and probably one I won't bring here. All right. I get too worked up on it. But it's just been an interesting thing. So no wonder he's beginning to write here. And look, if you would, in Psalm 13. And let's read. We're going to read the whole chapter tonight. Does that sound all right? Because it's only 6 verses, all right? So hopefully you can say, when you get done, say, man, I read a whole chapter of the Bible tonight. Amen? Psalm 13, verse number 1. Look, listen to what he says. He goes, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get into our lesson. Our Father, we ask your blessing now upon this study. We thank you for recording it for us. We thank you for the life of David. And we pray, Lord, that there be things that we might gain from it, truths, principles, dear Father, words of encouragement, that would help us, perhaps, as we are in these times when we're asking, how long? And we just pray, Lord, that you'll receive the glory in it. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. One of the terms I notice I use on the news is that what we call that we're going to be going back out there, but it's going to be the new norm. And I think David was at a place where he was wondering when the new norm was even coming, you know. I mean, is this going to be what it is? Is this going to be the rest of my life, Lord? And so he's asking the Lord, how long is this the way it's going to be? Is it going to be like this forever? He really needed a word of encouragement. He needed something. And it seems like sometimes in people's lives, I've had it happen in my life. I'm sure many of you have had troubles come to your life. And if you haven't had any troubles, I don't know if you're even alive at that point in time. But in this world, you're going to have tribulation, the Bible says. But he said, be of good cheer, Jesus said, for I have overcome the world. But you ever thought about, do your troubles seem like sometimes they come to stay? They linger. They're just like, okay, this should be over a long time ago, and it's going on. And David's troubles began, and it was just, there was that first day that triggered it. And then that day turned into that week turned into 4 weeks, and now a month, and he's thinking, wow, what's going on here? Surely this is going to be over really soon. King Saul's going to get his act together. He's going to understand what God's trying to do. And now months turned into a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and we're pushing now almost a decade, and King Saul still can't get this thing straight. And he's still angry at David, and he's still pursuing David. And so he's beginning to wonder, I think this trouble's here to stay. And so he asked, Lord, how long is this going to go on forever? Is this the rest of my life at this point in time? And I think when trouble comes and when it seems like it's staying around because it likes us so much, I think we begin to grumble. You ever grumbled before? And I think we begin to, that grumbling can begin to turn into murmuring, where we're actually murmuring and complaining against God. I mean, I want to ask you a question, and I had to ask myself this question, and I want you to think about this question for a minute. When was the last time you complained about something God allowed or God permitted to come into your life? When was the last time you complained to him about it? I would almost venture to say that for the majority of us going through COVID-19 right now, that we wouldn't have to think too far back that there's been something that we've complained to God about during this time. And so we can't be too hard on David. His has been going on for 9 years, and we're still just in the couple of months period. But when was the last time you complained about something that God had permitted, that God had allowed to come into your life? Well, here's David. David has this situation, and he is crying out to God. He says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" I think if you've been around long enough, and you're becoming an adult by now, there are what we would call seasons of life. And as seasons of life come, they come and they go. You and I, sometimes some are short, some are long. You know, it seems like the good seasons are the short ones. You know, we would love to have them continue on forever. And it seems like the tough times come and they stick around a lot longer. We want them to be shortened up. But as the seasons of life come and go, for you and for me, and they could be going through a general thing as we are with this virus, but there are still seasons of life that were going on before the virus got here, that are going on in the virus for some people, and that will go on even after the virus situation has passed away again. But as these seasons of life come and as they go, I think we are to seek the Lord for his purpose. Why, Lord? Not just ask him how long, but Lord, why? Why? What is the purpose that you're having me go through? Why are you permitting this into my life? There must be something, Lord, that you're using this for to help me to see something that's in my life. Maybe it's to bring out some impurities in my heart or whatever may be there, or some other types of things. But I want us to look at three things tonight concerning David, and things that stair step from one to the next for the good. And I want you to see if there's something here that may help you tonight. If you feel like you're going through something and you've been going through it for a while, it might not even be the virus situation. It may be some area of bitterness in your heart towards someone from years ago, and you feel like you're in bondage to it and you just can't get over it. And it could be a variety of things. But the first thing I want us to consider as we talk about, has God forgotten you? Has God forgotten you? That's what David asked. Lord, how long? How long wilt thou forget me? And the first thing we see here is in verses 1 and 2 is David's plea. David's plea in verse 1 and 2. Again, notice the first two verses here. And notice in these two verses, again and again and again, we read the two words, how long. He cries out, how long, Lord? And I want you to notice in those two verses, he cries out that four different times. How long, Lord? How long? How long, Lord? How long? And then in that one of those final cries, he says, forever? How long is this going to take place? Is it going to be forever? This is his plea. He's pleading with God. He's concerned about the situation. He knows the will of God is for him to be sitting on the throne. It's been 9 years and longer since he's been anointed to be king. And he's wondering, this is, just keeps hanging on. This is the plea of the psalmist. Excuse me. If you think, as I may mention earlier, if you think that you're going to go through this life without any troubles, you have to think again. Actually, it's interesting that in the book of Job, in Job chapter 14, in the very first verse, Job says, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. You see, you and I don't have to go looking for trouble. It comes to us. We live in a world that has been cursed by sin. And you and I will have trouble in this life as long as we live. Now, it may come and go, but there will be various trials and testings and all these situations that will come. And we need to understand that the real victory in life isn't the absence of troubles. It is the presence of the Lord. It's the presence of the Lord. That's where the real victory comes in at. For David, every day was another day of the same heartache. I mean, it's the same old, same old, same old. There was a movie years and years ago, and it had been back in the 70s, I believe, and it was called Groundhog Day. And he kept waking up to the same thing every single day. It was the same thing. Deja vu, deja vu. Every time the alarm went off, it was the same song. He would wake up. Everything was the same. And David is waking up, and another week goes by, and he wakes up, and he still has the same heartache. Nothing is changing. And he's asking, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? How long is this going to continue? And I think that there are times when the Lord allows you and allows me, just as he allowed David, to go through trials. And those trials are allowed by God to challenge and to compel us to search for him. You see, it's easy for us to get caught up in life. Matter of fact, the Bible warns us, Paul warns Timothy, to not get entangled. That's the word he uses. He says, and be not entangled with the cares of this world. I think most of us could say that before COVID-19 was going on, we were pretty entangled in the world and its cares, its concerns. And so sometimes God will permit these situations to arise, these hard times, to bring us to him. And I think he's wanting to use these situations in our lives to cause us to cry out to him, but not in questioning him, but to use that to bring it to him and to seek his face. It's interesting that the Lord has not forgotten David. He says, how long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me? You may think, Lord, this has been going on. Do you even hear me anymore? How long are you going to forget me? God's forgotten all about me. God doesn't ever forget us. He never forgets us. Listen to Isaiah 49. These are really interesting verses. Isaiah was a great prophet, and in chapter 49 and verse 15, listen to what Isaiah says. He's speaking, and he says, can a woman forget her sucking child? Here's a woman who has a brand new newborn baby. It's nursing. And God asks the question here, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? And he answers, yes. Yes, a woman can have a newborn babe and not have compassion on her new child. Abortion's running rampant. That's a whole other situation there, of murder. But he says a woman can forget her sucking child, that she would not have compassion on you. Can that happen? He says, yeah. And he says, they may forget. He says, yet will I forget thee. A mother, when you think of, we got Mother's Day coming up, one of the most intimate relationships is a child and a mother. I mean, the baby's been in the womb for 9 months. There's that closeness that's there, that knitting together, that mama speaks constantly. The baby hears the mama's voice through the vibrations, knows that voice. And when that baby comes forth, there's that great joy, usually. But God says that there are times when mothers forget that baby. They have no compassion for him. He goes, and yet I will not forget you. As that relationship should be one of the most tender, closest relationships in the world. He goes, it can fail, but my relationship with you will never fail. It doesn't matter what you're going through, David. It doesn't matter what you're going through, Kevin. It doesn't matter what you're going through when you put your name in there. I haven't forgot you. I haven't forgotten you. And God reminds us, I have not forgotten thee. Then he goes on in verse 16. Listen to what he says. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. God says, I love you so much that I've graven you on the palms of my hand. The wall always represents God's protection. And he says, your wall is continually. I'm always watching over you, and I'm always there continually to protect you because you're graven on my hands. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, folks, you are graven on the palms of his hands. That's how much he loves you. He did not forsake us at Calvary. He's not going to forsake us now. God the Father said, if I give you the very best that I have, my son, how can I withhold anything else for you? Everything else is, in comparison to my son, is nothing. So as I freely gave him, I freely give all things to you. So we see the plea of the psalmist in this time of trouble, this time of hardship, this time of testing. And maybe we need to ask ourselves, is the plea of the psalmist your plea? Are we asking God, how long is this going to go on? Are we kind of murmuring? Are we kind of complaining about what God is permitting into our lives? The second thing I want you to see with me is in verse number 3. Notice what he says in verse number 3 of our text here. David cries out from his heart. He says, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Here we see here that David's plea is working. Remember, he's asking, he's questioning God. And God many times brings these situations into our life to draw us to him. And that's exactly what's happening, because David's plea now becomes David's prayer. Here we see in verse 3, he now says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. He's bringing his burden, he's bringing his plea to God in prayer. Now notice, if you would, the little word lest in verse 3. He says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, enlighten me about why you're doing this, lest I sleep the sleep of death. That little word less here, it says basically is, Lord, I'm going to die under this burden if you don't show me and help me through it. Folks, you know, sometimes when God permits problems, I'm just going to use that word there. That's a pretty general thing, and it could be big or small. Depends on, you know, other people's problems are usually smaller than ours, right? And it seems like anyway. But your problems and my problems, just like David's problems, they're simply instruments. They're tools in the hand of God. And he uses those to draw us unto him. The Bible says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. To me, this psalm here, Psalm 13, is an amazing psalm, because we're seeing the plea of the psalmist becomes the prayer of the psalmist. And if you and I have things that we have pleas in our own areas, things that we're concerned with, things that we're questioning, God's goal is for them to draw us to him, to say, consider and hear me, O Lord my God, to begin to pray to him. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. David wrote that prayer, that psalm in Psalm 63. O thou that hearest prayer. God is a prayer hearing God, and a prayer answering. Ask and you shall receive. You have not because you ask not, the Bible says. The late, great Adrian Rogers said, the worst kind of prayer isn't unanswered prayer, it's unoffered prayer. So it's an amazing thing that in Psalm 13 is this plea of the psalmist becomes the prayer of the psalmist. And this is what God is wanting to teach us now. He taught this to David. Excuse me. David learned this principle. It's recorded for us now to learn. And we must get to the place where we take our burdens to the Lord and allow our burdens to become our prayers. The Bible says in Peter, casting all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. We're to roll our burdens upon him. David said in Psalm 46 and verse 5, for I shall yet praise him. Why? For the help of his countenance. God's face is upon him and it's shining upon him because he brought his burden. He's asked God to intervene, and God has turned with favor and delight. The Bible says that God delights in the prayer of the righteous. And as we come and bring these burdens and lay them down, our pleas become our prayers, just like David. And when they become prayers, God comes to your aid, to my aid, as he did for David. And he's waiting. I think he's waiting for these pressing issues that are in your life that are weighing you down. These burdens we're allowing to override us. He's waiting for these pressing issues, these troubles, to be brought to him in prayer. it's a lot easier sometimes to murmur and complain about things than to pray about things. Isn't that interesting? We could drop to our knees and bring it to the Lord, or we can sit and grumble and gripe. And two different results, folks. One is self-focus, heaviness, discouragement, depression. The other one is burdens are lifted at Calvary. There's joy, there's rejoicing, there's singing. We'll see that in just a minute. And the Lord, maybe tonight, is waiting. He's been allowing things, permitting things into your life, troubles, to the point where he's wanting to draw you to him. And maybe it's been going on for a short time. Maybe it's just started. Sometimes I wonder if David maybe would have done this sooner. He wouldn't have gone on for so long. But God is waiting for us to cry out to him and seek him for help. Consider and help me. Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. And what a great thing that we have a God that wants us to come to him. He has time. He has time for us to come. You can never get a busy signal. You're not going to get I'm busy right now, leave a message. When we call, he will answer. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he answers before we even call. A lot of prayers that we see God answer, in order for it to happen, was a divine thing, because God had already been working weeks and sometimes months to work out the answer to that prayer at just the right time, that when we pray, we ask and it comes. Daniel had prayed to the Lord about a situation, and he prayed, it says, 21 days, day and night. So that's 42 times he was praying about this situation, and God finally had sent an angel, because Michael the archangel, to come down and fight, because there was a spiritual battle. God has sent the answer, the Bible says, on the very first day. So Daniel's on the earth praying about something. God hears that prayer because he's a righteous man and he delights in the prayers of his people. He says to this angel, go and bring the answer to Daniel. The angel comes down there, and there's the enemy, you know, there's Satan and all the demons, and they're resisting him and they're keeping him from bringing the answer. Sometimes it's not that God doesn't want to answer, that there is a spiritual battle that we don't see taking place, and he won't let the angel of God to come through. He was a principality in these areas. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness, against spiritual wickedness, the Bible says, in heavenly places. So there's a battle that's raging. And finally, God sent Michael to come down and to free up, to take over that demonic force, let the other angel go, and he came and brought the answer to Daniel on day 21. And yet he told Daniel, God heard you on the very first day. And folks, God's waiting to hear from you. You say, well, I've taken my plea, and I've turned it to a prayer, and it's been a week now, it's 2 weeks. Well, maybe there's a battle taking place. And God's wanting you to trust him in this one. Has your plea, let me ask you that, has your plea become your prayer? Now, when your plea becomes your prayer, and when my plea becomes my prayer, just like David's plea became his prayer, the result is this, is the praise of the psalmist. We have the plea of the psalmist, we have the prayer of the psalmist, but we see now the praise of the psalmist. That's the blossom, if you would, coming out from that area. So you have this plea, this burden over here, it begins with, and over here it ends with praise and rejoicing. What made the difference? What made the difference for David? Prayer. You want to get from this place over here of burdens and the pleas and the murmurings to this place of rejoicing and singing in your heart with gladness? Pray. And that will be the result. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5, in verse number 6, when David begins praising the Lord in this psalm, notice carefully what he emphasizes. In verse, here it says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Now notice a couple of things here. David says here, but I have trusted in thy mercy. Thank God that he is a God of mercy. The Bible says that that's one of his great attributes. Mercy is God giving us things that we don't deserve. We're saved by grace. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. We're saved by the grace of God, and grace is God's unmerited favor. Maybe I said mercy wrong here. Grace is that God is bestowing something upon us that we don't deserve. That's the grace of God. He gave us salvation. Do we deserve salvation? Absolutely not. We're sinners, and we're condemned, and we're lost. We're the enemy of God, but God, by grace, saved us. He forgives us. So grace is that God is granting us something that we don't deserve, and mercy is God withholding from us what we do deserve. And the Bible says that God's mercies are new every morning. Now, the word mercy here, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it's talking about one of the great attributes of God, His mercy, and it's talking about that God is a God of goodness and a God of kindness. Our God is not some force. He's not some power, something that's just out there, a higher power. He is a person that is, we're made in His image. He's a God of emotions. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of goodness and kindness and grace. He loves His creation so much that He sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, to pay for our sin. That's how much He loves us. That's how good He is. That's the greatness of His mercy. And David says here, I have trusted in Thy mercy, Your goodness, and Your kindness towards me, I have trusted in. Have you trusted in the mercy of God? The word trust here that David is declaring is that it means to place confidence in. Are you confident in what God's doing in your life? You see, when I'm focused on the burdens and I'm complaining and murmuring about those things, I'm focused on me. Woe, woe is me. And sometimes we like to wallow in that. I speak from experience. And we can do a pretty good job at it and stay there for quite a while. And we try to let everybody else know that we're feeling that way as well. And yet here we see that David said, he says, I've trusted. I have placed my confidence in Thy mercy. I'm going to trust Your goodness on this, Lord. I don't understand why You permitted this to come, but there's a purpose. There's a greater purpose that I'm not seeing, and it's for my good. It's for my good. So I'm going to place my confidence. I'm going to trust in You. And when we trust in God, when we place our confidence in Him, it brings us to a place of security and safety. And that brings peace. A peace that passes, the Bible says, all understanding. It literally means that we become carefree. You know, there's burdens that God says for us to cast all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. There's a lot of people, a lot of Christians that are carrying things that God says, that's not for you to carry. Put it down. Lay it down. Lay it down. And if you want to continue to be in that place of the plea, you will not enjoy your Christian life. It's not until we come to God in prayer and give these things to Him. And ask Him, Lord, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. And then begin to praise Him. Praise Him for His goodness. Praise Him for His kindness. Praise Him, it says here, for His mercy. And be able to be confident that what He's doing, what He's permitting, is glorious. We're going to see the end result. We're going to say, oh, God, I'm glad that You did that. He maketh no mistake. I've said this years and years and years, time and time again. There's a lot of words in the Bible. You'll never find one word where God says, oops. That would not be good. If God's doing something in my life and all of a sudden He goes, oops, what? What do you mean, oops? I'm glad God has no oops in our lives, amen? Everything is planned and perfected to take as a tool to make us into the image of a Son, and His Son completely trusted in the Father, and He wants you and me to completely trust in His Son. He says, but I have trusted in Thy mercy. Look what else He says. My heart, my mind, my will, my emotions. That's what makes us up. That's the soul, the mind, will. He says, my inner man, my heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation, Your great deliverance. You see, it takes our focus when we're pleading and our burdens off of us, and it puts it on Him. Thy mercy, Thy salvation. And He says, and because of that, I will sing unto the Lord. Why? Because He hath dealt bountifully with me. You know, when it's all said and done, Paul says, I suppose that even the things in this life are not to be compared with the things that are to come. And Paul, if you read about Paul's life, the time that he was beaten, three different times he was beaten, 39 stripes each. If you could see his back, there'd be nearly 120 scars across his back because of his beatings. He was stoned, left for dead. I mean, you think about all the things that he went through, and he lists those things. And yet God had a purpose. He permitted those things in Paul's life, and yet we let some of the most little things come in and just overwhelm us. And one day, if we will trust the Lord in these things, if we'll trust his goodness and his mercy, he says, I'll take care of this. You're going to see that I'm not just going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it bountifully. I'm going to reward you with a full recompense of a reward. It'll be worth it all, we said, when we see Jesus. Now, I want you to understand something here. David realizes now that God is using this to draw David closer. Remember we said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And God's using this situation to make David draw closer to God. And God is saying, oh, David, come on closer. And he becomes to come. As David comes closer to God, God says, I'm coming closer to you. And so, really, you and I are as close to God as we want to be. He wants us closer. He wants us closer. But he's letting us decide how close we're going to get. And so we see that David realizes that God is near, and that's what we need to do in these times of heaviness and sorrow and asking, how long, Lord, forever, are you going to forget me? We need to cast these cares upon him, trust him in these things, rejoice in him, and sing of his goodness and his bounty, and draw nigh to God. Now, I want to understand something that's very important here, that I think a vital part for me in this lesson as I was preparing it. I got little stars and circle around it. The change from the plea to prayer and now to praise, this rejoicing and this singing. David's geographical location did not change to achieve this victory. He was still in the caves. He was still in the forest. Sometimes I think that, and I know for me, like when things are heavy and you're getting focused on the things instead of on the Lord, it's like, you know what, I just need to get out of here for a while. I need to go somewhere else. And we think that the geographical location of change will grant that victory, that what we're looking for. That's not what it is, folks. You going somewhere else, you running from a situation, it doesn't bring about the joy. It doesn't bring a singing in your heart and thanking God for his mercy and his bounty. It's coming to him. It's laying your burdens upon him. David had put his faith in the Lord. Have you? In whatever your burden and your situation is. Notice, if you would, the phrase in verse 5. He says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. That is so close to what John says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, where John says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And the world is not talking about the globe, but the system, the way it runs and how it operates. And Satan, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, that Satan is the god, little g, of this world. When Adam sinned, he yielded it over, and Satan took possession of it. He's the god of this world. And I think it's 2 Corinthians 4:4, I think. So we can have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil as we stay focused and trust in the mercy of the Lord. So the object of David's faith was Jesus Christ. The object of my faith must be Jesus Christ. The object of your faith must be Jesus Christ. Christ must be the focus, not the burdens. Too many times we're looking at the problems instead of the problem solver. The Lord, folks, I think we have seen tonight, has allowed circumstances in David's life. The Lord has allowed circumstances in your life and mine, maybe not today, but maybe tomorrow. They'll come. And David's life is to remind him, he's allowed these things into his life to remind him and to remind me and you of what we truly possess in the Lord. We need to move tonight from how long to hallelujah. We need to move tonight from how long to saying how bountifully he has dealt with us. Folks, if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, we will begin to murmur. And we will begin to complain against God. We'll question. And when we begin to question God, we're not trusting his mercy. We're not placing any confidence in him. When I question what God's permitting into my life, I'm calling him to question whether I have enough confidence to trust him. Am I secure with you? Am I safe with you? Look what's happening. It's kind of like spitting on his face. They did that at the trial, at the mock trial. And we go, oh, how can somebody do that? Do we not do that, in a sense, sometimes? But God has allowed many things, and he will continue to allow things in our life to see us draw a little bit closer, a little bit closer, to take those pleas to become prayers and to turn those prayers into praise. We may think that he's forgotten us, just like David did, but he promised that I will never forget you. Remember, he says, I've graven you on the palms of my hands. May your plea become your prayer, and may your prayer be turned into praise and rejoicing. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you this evening for your word. We thank you for those of us who have joined together, and I pray that there was a word that was said, a spoken word, dear Father, from Scripture, that you, through technology, can take from my lips, through this little camera, through the internet lines, over to other people all over the country right now. And may it minister into their heart as it goes through into their ear gate, trickle down into their heart, and may they consider the goodness of God. Lord, help us to understand that you may allow us to go through some trials, but you're doing it to compel us to seek your face, to have your countenance shine upon us. You have not forgotten us. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to take our burdens to you, to your Son, and allow them to become our prayers. You invite us to come into the throne room of grace that we might obtain mercy and find help in time of need. And Lord, may we realize that our problems, they're nothing more than tools or instruments in the hand of a mighty God who is wanting to mold our lives to make us just like his beautiful Son, Jesus Christ, and to draw us closer to him. That's for our good. And lastly, Lord, may we learn that victory comes when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to trust in thy mercy. May our hearts rejoice in thy salvation. And may we sing of thy wonderful bounty. Give us a great week as we continue on in it. Keep people safe, Lord. Watch over our families. Be with those that are struggling with sicknesses, whether it's this disease or some other area. There's people who are, even now I've seen, have lost brothers and sisters and siblings, dear Father, just through other sicknesses this week, dear Lord, from aging. And just ask, Father, that you would help all the churches as we are making ready plans to come back to assemble in our local areas. May you help us to be excited. May we be praying for a special anointing upon each one of us and the word that goes forth. And maybe there are those who, Lord, have not been going to church. They say that they're Christians. They have knelt and asked for your forgiveness and mercy. We don't question that. Some of them perhaps not have even been baptized yet. May they be baptized, dear Father, to declare publicly that they are believers in Christ. May they not be secret saints. May they be open about their faith. And maybe those, Lord, who just, they've been saved and baptized, they've just been out of fellowship. Maybe tonight's the night where they would just bow in their heart, confess it before thee, dear Father, knowing that you're ready to cleanse them and to forgive them of all unrighteousness. And may they get back into a place of worship and gather with the saints of God. Just add your blessing now, Lord, upon the days ahead. We don't know what a day is going to bring forth. Pray for us tomorrow as we, as a people, as a nation, lift up our nation before thee, God. Oh, that thou would hear our prayers, and that you would show yourself mightily. Those that are trying to hinder our nation, dear Father, those that are trying to dig pits for our nation to fall in, may they fall in the pits themselves that they dig. those that are trying to roll great stones upon our leaders, may those stones roll back upon them. Those that are laying snares, dear Father, for the righteous, may they become ensnared themselves. I'm amazed, Lord, at how many wicked men, that's all they do is spend their days in wickedness. Lord, may you trouble their homes. Bring trouble upon them that they would not have time to hinder this nation and what it stood for and what we're trying to go back to. Glorify yourself this evening. Give us a restful night's sleep. And Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for the technology that we can do this. And thank you, Lord, that this, even though this is our last night on Wednesday nights, may you help other people to get together in their local assemblies where they can. In Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.